Hello, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8. This is WAUK 540 AM 101 or 92.7 FM. Again, I had Nate Drowski on in the first half, and I hope you folks enjoyed listening to him. He's an ambitious, hardworking servant of the people. We hope he gets elected. If he does enough doors, he will. And I have a special guest the second half. A couple decades ago, Pedro Colon was the first Latino elected, I should say Puerto Rican, elected as to the assembly in Wisconsin history. He eventually was in joint finance. He is currently the presiding judge of Milwaukee County, Judge Pedro Colon. Good evening.
Good evening. It's great to be here.
So I invited my good friend, dear friend, old friend, to talk about democracy in the state from the view of the bench. We got three branches of government. We have the Assembly and Senate, we have the executive, and we have the judicial branch. And we really don't spend a lot of time, or I haven't, talking about the importance of the judiciary and how it impacts democracy. And I wanted some political insight on where we're at. So where are we at in Wisconsin? Here it is, 2022, Judge Colon.
Well, thank you, Mark, for inviting me to your show, number one. Number two, I want to start at the beginning, and the beginning is that Waukesha, that is the city from where we're talking, was actually the largest Latino community in the state, and actually elected one of the first Latino judges, Judge Ness Flores, who continues to live in this community and be very active. So I just want
hello out there, Judge Flores.
And so it's great to be in his home and really the historical seat of the Latino community in the state, although Milwaukee obviously surpassed it in population. But we're here to talk about the Supreme Court. Let's talk about the Supreme Court.
So what is it about the state of the Supreme Court that people should be paying attention to?
Well, the Supreme Court, in some ways, it gets complicated, but it's very simple. It is the only independent branch of government that is, we just had a young man talk about getting into the Assembly. The Assembly and the legislature is composed of the Senate and the Assembly, and they control the budget of everything together with the governor. The governor has all of his secretaries in the domain of all the major interest for citizens, and ultimately who regulates most of the things that we do is the Supreme Court. And so we go to the Supreme Court for basic reasons. One is to seek justice, and two, to make sure that our laws are complied with in a way in which all people are represented and all people have an understanding about what justice is. So it is a hugely important branch of government. I know it gets lost sometime in April, and I always think about these issues. I think that's now becoming very apparent when the United States Supreme Court overruled Roe versus Wade, when we continually see our own Supreme Court entangled in what are really essentially administrative matters having to do with elections and how those get decided. I think we went through an experience in the pandemic when the governor declared an emergency. And what is an emergency and what is the prerogative of elected government? That is the governor's office, the assembly, and the Senate. What is their prerogative about how to regulate our democracy? And that can only be regulated in the Supreme Court. And that can only be regulated in the Supreme Court when you have independent judges.
So how do you see those issues looking back up to this point? What are the major decisions that you see that were decided by the Supreme Court that really tee up, or a couple of issues that tee up why this next April election is so important?
Well, I think one of the most, there's a few. One of the most telling was whether drop boxes were available for the use in communities to actually gather votes.
I was right. I was a defendant in that case. Official capacity.
That's correct. So that's you know that case very clearly. And let me just say, I'm bound to abide by the Supreme Court rulings as a circuit court judge. I'm also bound to see what the broader perspective could yield in a different Supreme Court. So I don't want to say that those decisions are wrong, in that they are decided by a majority of the Supreme Court.
They are the current law.
They are the current law.
I said that during the election commission meeting. Yes. They said this is the law and this is the law.
And that's where we go to have the law declared, is the Supreme Court. It is the last stop, whether it's the United States Supreme Court or the Supreme Court of Wisconsin.
Right.
And there's been significant decisions, one having to do, and I don't want to talk particularly about them, but the drop box issue, how people vote. I think it was alluded to as to what you're required to show before you vote, and ultimately how we decide that the districts are composed of communities and what factors do we use to do that to better align our population with a representative democracy. All those issues have run very recently through the Supreme Court.
Right. We had the decision from the Supreme Court that took the governor's maps that included 7 minority districts down to 5. So we have a very active court that's very active politically. And I see it this way. We had an election, and I want to bring this one up, because we had Judge Hagedorn vote with 3 people and said, look at Donald Trump, your complaints about the election came way too late. I am not going to ignore the people's votes and disenfranchise voters and take the election away. And we've had Justice Hagedorn in that sort of middle role. And he's a historic conservative. So what is this, you know, this, because a lot of times the discussions on the Supreme Court have been this conservative view.
And yeah.
It doesn't seem to me that just in that, it's the game has sort of changed.
Well, I think that's a great segue. So here you have Hagedorn, Justice Hagedorn, who just won an election and is unabashedly conservative. He's conservative substantive, what I call a substantive conservative. That is a conservative who's willing to make calls based on a prism of conservatism, but ultimately making the right call as he sees it. And that's what he saw in both of the cases regarding gerrymandering, or how the districts are composed, and number 2 about how we use drop boxes for votes. And so then we go along, and I imagine his existence was very difficult. And it came out, typically we have talk show hosts and we have legislators and we have talking heads and angry talk show hosts who declare that somehow Hagedorn has offended democracy to a great degree, to the extent that he should be deposed of his commission to be duly elected judge.
Yeah, well,
justice of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So
I mean, we have a justice who was actually threatened.
Yeah.
Just for voting and issuing a ruling the way he saw it conservatively.
No,
right?
That may not be appropriate, but that's new, and that's the way the world functions. What concerns me is we have Judge Janet Protasiewicz. She's running for the Supreme Court. She announces around the last week of May here in late spring. And immediately, former Justice Kelly declares Hagedorn unreliable, deeply unreliable, because he took at that time one vote that was not what the conservative collective would have
or mandated, required.
Well, what the conservative collective decided that the law was. And I have respect for every justice because they are duly elected, as I do for all elected officials. But when you have somebody who's previously elected statewide and uses that kind of language, then I think we're overstepping and we're losing our civility to the extent that we are all judges. Now, they are the highest judges. I am a circuit court judge, but we all have to use a language. And when you have Justice Kelly declaring that Hagedorn does not ever belong or is not reliable, I don't think that's, first of all, I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think it's appropriate. It's on the margins of our ethical standards as professionals, professional attorneys, which and everybody judges. In this room is. Yeah. And so, one, and two, I think it brings a debate which I don't think yields the kind of credibility that the Supreme Court ought to have. It should be independent. Whether you're conservative, whether you're progressive, liberal, whatever label you want to put on anybody, it should be independent, and it should look at the prism of justice. And I think that gets lost, and Hagedorn hasn't lost that prism, whether you agree with him or not. I'm not suggesting that others have. But when Janet Protasiewicz announces, and that's the first reaction, and then that becomes an interesting statement in that they expect Justice Kelly to then announce for Supreme Court, and they are going to decide this by July. Well, it's Monday, August 22nd, and no one other than Janet Protasiewicz and
Everett Mitchell
in Madison has announced, both of which are progressives. Now, where is the conservative? We were waiting for, and this is the interesting thing about this race. It's been now a whole summer, 90 days, and we're proceeding into the November elections, and there's still no candidate announced. I don't know. I don't want to speculate as to why they don't have a candidate. I would venture to guess that Justice Kelly is no longer interested, because he didn't do it in July.
And do you think he's not interested, or do you think he is being pushed aside?
Well,
or is that what we're wondering about?
Look, I don't want to say that he was pushed aside. He has done his math. Everybody does their math when they run for office, and it doesn't add up. And it doesn't add up either because he's not being supported or because he realizes that I think the overwhelming theme of this Supreme Court race will be the ability of women to retain the right to abortion or not. And I don't know that Justice Kelly is a good carrier of the message either pro or against that. And so I think everybody has sort of declared what their math is and analyzed where they stand on the race. Ultimately, they haven't found a candidate. That's the ultimate truth. And the fact is, it may be that Janet Protasiewicz, with about 30 years as a prosecutor and actually being an independent judge, is not someone that they can find anybody to run against.
Judge Pedro Colon, folks, presiding judge, Milwaukee County. This is attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. We're going to take a break. This is WAUK 540 AM 101 92.7 FM. The Paul Revere Show will be back for our final segment with Judge Pedro Colon.
Did I even say anything?